A Prairie Home Companion is brought to you by Yoplait. With 72% of adults not getting enough calcium, Yoplait is the yogurt with calcium and vitamin D in every cup. Products, recipes, and health information is online at Yoplait.com.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's been warm, you know, it's been up in the lower 30s. It's spring, practically spring, in the time when people get into an adventurous mood and go off in search of a porch light, you know, to go crashing into all of the moths around us. And there are more of them than you would ever guess. People get into wild moods, a lot of excitement around spring. Like Irene Bunsen, who went down into her laundry room and a mouse ran up her right leg. Almost made it to the top. Boy, there was a goal for you. Oh, she jumped up and down, she screamed, and she had those slacks stripped off her, but it made a big stir all over town. And in Lake Wobegon, the news gets around. There are no secrets in this town. Daryl Tollerud went down to his laundry room to get our clothes out of the dryer, and there were his daughter Megan's things. And here was a little tiny push-up bra and a sort of a translucent dress. What was this? And a pair of pink panties that said, "I dare you," on the front. Well, he didn't know what to say, so he had to leave it to his wife. And Marilyn had to speak to the child that evening. "Daughter, you're not going to wear this, so just get over it. You're not. I mean, we have a future planned for you. You know, you're gonna go to college. You're going to have a career. You're not going to be dancing in roadside taverns, you know, for truck drivers. The way to attract the right kind of young man is to be mysterious and to conceal yourself. You don't put it out there like fruit on a plate. You do that and men's IQ drops by 40 points, and now you can't tell the smart ones from the others. They're all just looking at your ribcage. So just don't. Oh, mother, please. Okay, all right. I'll wear a veil to school. Okay, I'll wear a burqa. I'll sit behind a screen. Is that what you want, darling? No, but if you want to wear revealing things, I mean, there's no point in spending all this money on it. I can make you this out of cheesecloth and saran wrap and some fish line. Oh, people off doing big things in the spring. All those kids who had President's Day off on Monday, they took their last sliding party, got way up high on the hill up behind the high school, 40, 50 kids on saucers and sleds and toboggans. And it was all icy. They're just going top speed all the way down the hill and across Main Street and through the park and out onto the ice of the lake, and all screaming and, God, so fast, it would have terrified any parent who had watched this. Trees everywhere, cars going, these kids going high speed all the way to the bottom. Terrifying. So parents stay indoors. They keep the windows shut. They turn up the radio. There's no point in knowing. People getting in the last of the ice fishing this week, you never know. Ice may melt quickly. People out there walking across, a lot of people slipping and hitting their heads. Darlene from the Chatterbox Cafe went out to a fishing shack. There was a guy out there, somebody's cousin from Grand Rapids, and she sat in there with him, and they had peppermint schnapps and late afternoon. And then she had to walk all the way back into town. He didn't offer her a ride, and she slipped, and she hit her head. And that night when she locked up the Chatterbox Cafe, she absentmindedly turned off the furnace entirely so that when Dorothy came in at 4 o'clock in the morning, it was freezing cold in there, and she had to call Carl Krebsbach to come down and thaw out the pipes. When you need somebody at 4 o'clock in the morning, you go down your list of friends, and there are not many names that you'd care to call at that hour, and not necessarily the best and the brightest and the most charming and the most attractive or the hippest. Kind of slow, sturdy people like Carl Krebsbach. So he came down there, and by the time he got down there, Dorothy had made up a big batch of dough for her cinnamon rolls. She makes them as big as softballs, bigger than your fist, full of caramel and nuts, and you don't even want to know how many calories are in them. She had put those into the oven, and the kitchen was starting to warm up. He went down the basement, and he fiddled with some switches, and pretty soon there was a hum, and then hot air came out of the register. She had made gallons of coffee. She had made 10 gallons of her pancake mix, and she had made cereal, oatmeal and cream of wheat, two big pots full by 5:30, and she had made all of her scrambled egg mix as well, and then people started to come in. And Florian and Myrtle Krebsbach came in through the door. He had woken up early, and he wasn't sure that his car would start, but he got it started, and as long as it did start, you might as well drive someplace. Come in and have breakfast. So they had the big breakfast. They had the scrambled eggs and the sausage, and they had a stack of buttermilk pancakes on the side, some coffee and some orange juice. And Myrtle Krebsbach said, as she has said every year for decades, "This is the last winter I spend in Minnesota. I swear if we don't go south next year after Christmas, I am getting a divorce. You can take my word for that." So she felt happy now that this decision had been made. Yet one more year, they all sat down. Darlene came in. She said, "God, it's cold in here." And Dorothy didn't bother to remind her about the furnace or why it was cold. She just made more coffee. She poured a cup of coffee. And it reminded her, as it always does, the smell of coffee, of her mother Helen and what beautiful coffee klatches Helen used to put on in her house, and how everything had to be just so, and the napkins and the little spoon for the cream and the sugar there in its little sugar bowl and a plate of cookies and everything just so. And she would assign her friends to their seats, 5, 6, 7 around the table, and pour the coffee. It was very formal and so sweet. Dear, dear, dear Helen, who just kept moving forward, and on her best days she was gracious and charming and funny, and on her worst days she just didn't talk about it. She wouldn't allow any complaining around the coffee klatch, and if someone should start to talk about her aches and pains, Helen would say, "Well, I'm sure we all know about that," and change the subject. Winter is not a personal thing. Everybody else is just as cold as you are. You're not the first person to go through this, so don't bore us with your little complaints. That was Helen's philosophy. She was a heroine, and every time Dorothy thinks about her mother, she starts to shed a few tears for the old lady. And then the workmen came in. Ernie and Earl and Larry came in, and they all sat down at the counter, and Ronnie was there, and they ordered big breakfasts. They're going off to St. Cloud today to work on cleaning out cesspools, which is serious work. People truly depend on this. Darlene said good morning to them and poured them coffee, and Earl said, "You ought to come with us sometime. Come see what this is all about. Boy, it would just really change your perspective on everything. Sure has changed mine. Don't ask me how." It reminded It reminded Larry of his brother Lester, whose brother-in-law had come to live with Lester and his wife when the brother-in-law had to go in for surgery. He was having butt replacement surgery. Because he had severely deformed his entire rear end by carrying a heavy billfold in one pocket. And it just really threw everything off, and a hip replacement was not going to be enough, so they had to replace his whole butt. And he came to stay with Lester and his wife, and he stayed for weeks before the surgery, and then even longer afterward, and a month had passed. And Larry said, well, how long is he going to be with us? I mean, we should charge rent or something. Oh, his wife said, I can't throw my brother out. I mean, have a heart, please. So Larry designed a talking toilet seat, and he put it in the guest bathroom. You could turn it on with a switch, and then when somebody sat down on the toilet seat, this little recording from underneath said, hey, get off there. We're working down here. It worked beautifully. It just was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And Larry waited for the day and chose his day carefully. And he tried it out a few times. Hey, get off it. We're working down here. He tried it out. He attached it and turned on the switch. Early one morning, and his brother-in-law went in to the bathroom, and Larry crouched by the door with his ear to the keyhole to hear the whole thing, and he could hear the brother-in-law's trousers drop to the floor, and then he could hear the voice, hey, get off of here, we're working down here. And the next thing he knew, he was lying flat on the floor. He had forgotten that that bathroom door opens out, and the doorknob hit him right in the ear. Oh, they got a big kick out of that story. Everybody enjoyed it. And then Pastor Enquist came in, and he looked at all the people sitting along the counter. There were four empty stools there, so he had to decide which stool he would sit on. And with four empty stools, it meant he would have to sit closer to one person than to the person at the other end, which is a serious decision for a minister of the gospel to make. He had to think hard about this. And rather than sit close to Mr. Berge, he sat closer to Ronnie, who was a Catholic, and therefore he should. So he sat down, and he had to hear the whole story of the talking toilet seat over again. Dorothy was working hard back in the kitchen. She was making buttermilk pancakes. She was making scrambled eggs with both hands. She was dishing up oatmeal and cream of wheat as the sun came up. The sun came up earlier than it usually has. It was beautiful up in the sky. This gorgeous, gorgeous sun. And she looked around for just a moment at all of these familiar faces and the smell of coffee. All of these people that she loves in this little town, all the people she knew so well, and blessed momentarily with this golden, golden light out of the heavens. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.